Today we're in James 4 and 5, and I want us to stop and think about it. It talks and speaks about our self-confidence, and it talks about a warning of being rich. You know, folks, we live in a time right now where we're probably more knowledgeable about things than we've ever been in our life. We can wonder about something. And I'll ask Tammy, I said, what do you remember what the deal was about that? No, not really. Googled it. DuckDuckGo or, you know, go check it out on the internet. You can go find out anything you wanna know. So if it doesn't matter if it's from working on a car or a motorcycle to what you'd like to know about maybe what their opinion is about some scripture. It's all there for you. So we're knowledgeable, folks, about lots and lots of things in the world that we live in. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's wonderful. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes we become arrogant in what we think we know. And it's like one preacher told me, he took my phone, he said it, and he said, here you go. He said, this right here will help you. And it does help me. But it also will help you to become arrogant because people think that you know more than what you know. You know what I mean? You don't know. Just say, hey, I don't know. Give me a minute here. I'll try to figure it out. But back in the day when we started getting these phones and I was talking with him one day, and he told me, he said, here, Mike, you can put this app on your phone. And all you got to do is put in one word of that scripture, and it'll pop it right to you quick. And he said, you'll have it for you. And he said, it'll give you a lot of information. And I thought about how really and truly, I'll never forget that day, because I thought about how arrogant really and truly are we. If we need to know and try to remember as much as we can, folks, I can't remember it like I used to. I can't keep it in my head like I used to. And I think 2/3 of that's because of being put to sleep a million times and all the meds I take. I just can't remember it. And the other thing is I'm getting old. So there you go. When you add all that stuff up, it just has a toll on you. But when we talk about the knowledge that we have and what we're going to be looking at, how we look at our future, how we look at our life, and we become pretty arrogant about it sometime. And as we think about resting in Christ, as we think about resting in our faith and knowing that we're coming to an end, we don't know when. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it may be 50 years from today. But we're coming to an end. And as we think about this, folks, it requires us to stop and to as we rest, it requires us to stop and to think about how we really look at God and how we really think about the scriptures and how we really treat others. This morning, if you have your Bibles or it's on the screen, we'll be looking at James, starting with the 4th chapter, the 13th verse. And let's just read the scripture and then we'll come back and talk about it. It says, look here, you who say. You hear that? Look here, you who say. Today and tomorrow we're going to a certain town and you will stay there a year. We all do. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know that what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and as such, boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. Your very wealth, who you were counting on, will eat away your flesh like fire. The corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who have harvested your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of the heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who you do not resist, who does not resist you. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we stop and we think about our arrogance toward the way that we live, you know, he starts out here, James does, and he says, you who say, who is it here that doesn't say this? Myself included. You who say, we don't have a clue, folks, what we're going to do. We don't have a clue what we're going to be able to do come tomorrow morning, because things change so quickly in the blink of an eye. Like a fog, it says. You're here one moment and you're gone the next. And so we see that we have, when we're talking about, we're going to move over here and we're going to live here for a year and we're going to make a lot of money and we're going to be able to do this and we're going to be able to do that. And then when we get back, well, we'll be able to have the money to do what we want to do then for a while longer. And we have not a clue, folks, what it's like. I remember when Celotex come in here. A lot of us old folks remember Celotex. A lot of people don't. But I remember when Celotex come in here and they started buying pulpwood and stuff to make that board out of. And it wasn't long until there was a company, I don't know who it was, they come and talk to Dad about, he said, you can move to, I don't even know where it was, some foreign country, and you had to fly in, fly out. You couldn't even get there, you know. It was, and there was very little, very few people on this island or whatever it was. He said, you know, and this was in the 60s, and he said, we'll give you $100,000 a year tax-free money. And we'll give you a 4-year contract. And I thought that time, my gosh, that's a lot of money, but I'm not going. I told Dad, and I said, I'm going to live with Granddad. I'm not going. I'll just stay here. You can go do what you want to, you know. But I wasn't interested in that, folks, because you get over there, and you're there for 4 years, and they want you to be there for 8 years. And what are you going to do with all that money? At that time, that was a lot of money. It's a lot of money today, but it's a lot of money then for sure. And, you know, when it's tax-free, that it looked pretty good. But you say, well, I'm going to move. I'm going to take this job, and I'm going to move over there. And Mama, she's saying, I don't want to go over there. You can go on over there if you want to, you know. But, folks, what we're saying is that you can plan. You can say, I'm going. I'm going to do this for 4 years, and I'll have enough money that I can kind of kick back and I won't have to worry, or I can do this or I can do that when I get back. I can have a whole different life. That's true. But the thing about it is, you don't know what's going to happen in 4 years. You don't know where you're going to be in 4 years. And so this is what he is saying. Do not be arrogant. He says that you're, what you say, a year, or I'm going to do business over here, and I'm going to make this profit, and I'm going to do all that. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. So he says, you're only here for a little while, and then you're gone. Folks, there's no truer words spoken. Each day we get up, and me and Tammy talk about this a lot. We've seen so much in our 40-something years together. We've seen a lot. You're here one day, and you're not here tomorrow. And so when we take a look at life in general, and we take a look at how short life is, and our plans get totally cut off right in the middle of what we've planned on doing, and how we have to change the way that we look at things, and how we have to change our life, and it affects what? It affects our attitude toward God. when things aren't like we wanted it to be, when we put things on paper and they don't turn out the way that we want them to, it affects our attitude and our behavior toward God. It affects everything toward the way we look at God and the way that we have a kind of like a temper tantrum a kid does. They have a little fit because, Lord, this is what I had planned. This is what we had talked about. This is what we'd been planning for so many years. And now then we can't do this. And I'm just not happy about it, Lord. I'm not happy about it at all. But folks, all we have to do is, like we were saying, is rest in the Lord. God knows our plans. He desires to give us many things in this life. But the one thing that he desires to give us most of all is the love of his son, Jesus Christ. He desires to give us eternal life through that blood that was shed upon that cross. He desires to share with us how he loved us. And the only way God could really show us how he loved us was through that death and burial and resurrection. He placed his own son upon that cross. Abraham showed God how much he loved him by placing Isaac upon that bed of wood. God said, I know, Abraham, I know how much you love me. I don't need you to take this boy's life. It shows me exactly what you love, how you love me. So, folks, we stop and we think about how it talks about in the fifth chapter of us having all the riches and all the things that we want and all the many things that we desire. And it says it's going to rot away. It's going to rot away. James, he's been with Jesus. He's watched Jesus. And he's saying, I know what I'm talking about, folks. I'm telling you. Because I know, because Jesus said this. You remember back when we done the series on the Sermon on the Mount? Let's look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6, 19. Start right there with 19. This is Jesus talking. He's trying to tell us, folks, one thing. He's trying to say to us, listen, you don't have to worry about the riches you have. You don't have to worry about the clothes you have in the closet. You don't have to worry about the things that you worry about. What you eat, how you're living, what's going to living, because he tells us in verse 19, he says, Matthew 6, 19, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot eat and destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. That's Jesus, folks. Wherever our treasure is where our heart's going to be. If we're worried to death right now, if you own something and you're worried to death right now that it's fixing to be damaged or something's going to happen to it or you got to do this or you got to do that, and it's consuming your time and worry, what good is it? When we have this opportunity to focus on the Lord, focus on him, focus on his love that he has for us. You know, it's great sin as we think about the sins of the rich. We all know people that are rich, and we all know that most all folks that are rich, they are not concerned but one thing. What's the stock market doing? If I'm losing money, am I gaining money? What's going on? Can I make any money over here with this bunch? Can I do this with that bunch? That's all they think about. More money, more money, more money. And folks, it comes a time in our life when how much is more? How much do you need? How much do you really want? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to help others? Are you going to take that money and do something for someone else? If you are, that's fine. That's what Jesus is telling us. Put your treasure where your heart is. But if you're putting that money and you're putting all the treasures that you can gather up, I tell Tammy and Ross all the time, I got all kinds of treasures. I got junk, folks. I got a bunch of junk. That's all I got, but I love junk. And so I go out there and I dig around and I find me some junk. And I say, there's your treasure, babe. There's your treasure. Well, the other day she decided she'd just gather her up some of my treasures, and she did, and she sold several dollars out of my treasures. I told her, I said, you're selling your inheritance. That's all I got to give you. You know, what are you going to do with it? So that was what she decided to do. She'd go get her some money and buy her some old furniture that she liked better than what she had. So that's what she did. But, folks, as we stop and think about what he's saying, what James is saying to us, don't be materialistic about all the things that we have. It's nothing when we could be doing something for someone else. You could be doing something to help someone. You think about it, folks. I think about it a lot of times, and I don't know if Irvin and Brian are familiar with this song or not, but there's a song that I listen to a lot of times, and you can look it up or listen to it if you hadn't. On YouTube, there's a guy called Redbeard, and that's usually who I listen to. I don't know if you ever listen to him or not. Well, you need to check him out. And there's a song that's called The Welcoming Table. And as I think about this sermon here today, folks, and I think about the welcoming table, and in that song, it's an old black spiritual song that was written way, way back. And it was talking about back in the day is what this song is about, because I looked it up on the internet and that's what it said. So I know it's true. So that's got to be the truth. You know how that goes. So, but what it is, it's about the days of slavery and when the black folk had no way of doing any better, when they had no way of looking, having any hope, except in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says, one day, I'm going to sit at the welcoming table with all my people, all the people, all God's people, it says. I'm going to sit at the welcoming table. And he does, it goes on and says, and I'm going to tell God about y'all that hadn't allowed me to sit at this table. It does say that. But I mean, isn't that human nature that we're going to tell God about it once we get there? You know, I don't think we will, but I think he'll already know. But I think that it was, you know, the way that it is, it's a good song. It doesn't say a whole lot, except it puts you to thinking. It puts you to thinking about a whole lot of things. And folks, back in the day when James had written this and when things were different than they are today, there was so many times that the poor folks, they didn't have any Social Security. They didn't have any programs. They didn't have anything to help them. There was nothing other than someone that lived next door or someone that they could depend upon, that they knew. And there was times when they were poor. There's always, Jesus said, there's always going to be poor folks. And they were poor. And it would be times when they would be in debt and there was nothing they could do about it. And there was times when they would end up in jail because they were in debt. Because I have no mercy on Irvin. You owe me, Irvin, I'm going to put you in jail. And I put him in jail and I say, now you still owe me, Irvin. He says, Mike, there's nothing I can do except I can sell you my kids. I can sell you my wife. That's all I can do. And they did. They sold their families, folks, to pay the debt, to try to get out of jail so they could do better to get their family back. It never happened. It didn't happen that way. But they were willing to do whatever they had to do to pay that debt. So, folks, as we stop and we think about this scripture and what he's saying, all of the things you have is worth nothing. Only thing you have is Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything else is zero. I guarantee you it'll be zero. One of these days I'll be at Ridgeway's and it'll be zero. That's all it's going to be. And so we have to stop and think about it. I don't know if y'all saw this week or not, but it made me stop and think. And, it, you know, you see things in happening throughout the world and throughout, you know, the United States, and I hope it makes you stop and think about yourself and about your life. But this week, there was this one guy, and he had paid the coyotes $7,000 to get into America. And they brought him to the border, the coyotes did. And you know right now, folks, you're not going to walk over there like you've been doing. But he had started this process like 3 months ago. And he wanted to go on and get to the border. And he did. He got to the border and he walked across. As soon as he walked across, I mean, they come after him and he run. It didn't do him no good to run, but he did. And when they caught him, he cried and he cried and he cried and he cried. And he said, I've not got a record one. I don't have anything against me. I am a hard-working man, and I have paid these coyotes $7,000 to get into America. And I want into America. That's all I want. I want you to let me come in. And they took him and they turned him around and sent him back. And I thought right there and then, you know, in the world that we're in today, I personally like the fact that you can't come across the border. That's me. If you want to come to America, there's a way to come to America. It's made up of all of us coming from somewhere. But we've got to do it the legal way. You can't pay a coyote to get in here. You got to come the legal way. And so I stopped right there, and I was watching this guy crying because all of his savings, everything he had done to try to get to where he thought he could better himself, and he had some family over here, it all went right back. Folks, at some point, if we're not resting ourselves in our faith, if we're not resting ourselves in Jesus Christ, we're going to be standing there just like that young man was, and we're going to be crying saying, Lord, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything. I'm just trying to get in. And he's going to say, you can't get in this way. This is not the way you enter into the kingdom of God. You only enter into the kingdom through my son, Jesus Christ. Only one way. And he tells us this. And he shows us that we can come and beg and plead, and he will hear our prayers, and he will give us a ticket to get in. But folks, we have to come in the proper way. We have to come in a way that we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before him. And we come to him knowing that he is our Lord and Savior. He is the one that died on the cross. He is the one that paid our sin debt. He's the one that's going to allow me to be able to have eternal life. It's nothing that I can do. And folks, today as we come to the table and we hear this scripture about all these riches and all the things that we have and all the things that we can be arrogant about and talk about, we see that it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. But we do have the opportunity to be a child of God. We have that opportunity. And that opportunity is offered to us. Why don't we accept it? Why don't we come in the proper way? Why don't we look forward to coming into the presence of God in the proper way? But instead, we always, each and every one of us, we try to put our money in front of every other way. We try to put our arrogance in front of every other way. We try to do everything in the way that the world does it instead of doing it the way that we need to do it. It's our attitude. It's our behavior. It's everything that is that we have to stop and look at every day. It's everything that I have to look at every day, folks. Because if I'm not careful, I will let the world overcome my time with God. I don't know about y'all, but I find it hard. I find it hard to stay focused on God as much as I should and as much as I could, because the world is there pulling me away. But Jesus said, he told the disciples, He knew that world was after the disciples just as well, and he knew he had one that would betray him just as well. He knew that everyone there at that table that night, they weren't resting with him in their faith and in their peace. There was those that was disturbed. They didn't understand it, but Jesus knew that. He knew their heart. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. And he turned to the guys, and he said, after he takes the bread, Brian, if you would, if you come help me, I'm going to let you break the bread, brother. He took the loaf of bread and he broke it. And he told the guys, he said, look, boys, he said, this is my body broken for you. He said, this is my body given for you. And each time you break it and eat of it, do it in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup. And as he took the cup, he said, this is my blood, men. This is my blood. It's given for you. He said, this is my blood that was shed for you. And he said, as often as you eat it and drink it, do it in remembrance of me. He said, this is the new covenant between God and his people through my blood. Let us pray, and we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together as well. Father, we come today and we just give you so much thanks for the body and the blood of Christ. We thank you, Father, for your son Jesus so much. We know that there's only one way to heaven, and we know it's through him, as it should be. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you take this bread and this juice and you make it be for us the body and the blood. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Father, for we know that we are truly sinners. And we thank you, Father, for teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Everyone got a cup? Anyone need a cup? We got a few extras here.
Let's partake together, church family. The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God.
Praise be to God. I'm going to ask Brian if he would pray for us.
Let's pray, church family.
Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in this moment and we just say thank you. God, may the attitude of our hearts this morning and each time we come to the Lord's table be, were it not for grace, were it not for mercy, and may our hearts be overwhelming with thanks for who you are and what you've done on our behalf through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Father, I thank you for the reality of the scriptures that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and we celebrate that this morning. And so, Father, thank you that our sins can be forgiven, and that we know and have the confidence that they are cast as far as the east is from the west, as you say in scripture, all because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And so, Father, this as we move forth from the table today, may we rise and go forth and walk in newness of life because Jesus is ours and we are his.
Yes.
And thank you for the reality of that relationship. And so as we have remembered your sacrifice, we celebrate the reality of the forgiveness that is ours because of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose table this is. And it's in his name that we ask this and pray. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen.